And that's a long time. Many of you probably never knew this. How long ago, how many years ago was it you lost your mother?
My mom passed in 13, but the accident happened, or the, not the accident.
The murder.
It was in 09.
In 2009, and she's been waiting and waiting and waiting for justice, somebody to get it, and they still don't know who did it. So she and I communicate about this all the time, and Sue's not getting her hopes up, and that's reasonable, but somebody just walked in down at Medford.
Grants Pass. Grants Pass. Roseburg.
Was it Roseburg?
Yeah, but that's where the detectives are, and then she was actually in Oak Ridge.
Okay, well, I know where that is because I go down and see the grandkids. Yeah. Anyway, they just walked in and shot her, and shot your sister too, didn't they? Mm-hmm. But she didn't die right then.
My sister did. My mom didn't. My mom was shot three times, but lived.
And no answer. Well, recently there's been a word. She's got a friend who's a private detective that maybe there's a break. May not be. She's been here before. But I'd like for us to pray for this and pray that this load will get off her heart. But I'd like, why I have her up here is because I'd like for you to pray. Because I've just been impressed recently, again, at answers to prayer. Mari Kading, who's usually in this service, was a couple weeks ago. Friend couldn't get hold of her and found her in her home. She lives alone on the floor. And I got a call a little better than a week ago, I think. And she didn't have anybody else. It's a long story. But they were that close to pulling the plug. Well, she's off the ventilator. We prayed for her. She's off the ventilator. She was eating. She's certainly not ready to come out of the hospital, but God, He answers prayers. And we just had a lot of those lately. And there are things that the Lord is not going to answer for His own reasons. But we're going to, I want the whole church to get involved. And we've prayed together, and I want you during the week as you think of this to pray for Sue so she doesn't feel like she's bearing this burden all alone.
Thank you.
All right, dear. Okay. A lot of stuff in this world, isn't there? And some of you are carrying a lot of stuff. There's always been a lot of suffering in this church. And we need to really pray for one another. We welcome those of you who are guests. I've made contact with a few of you this morning. We're delighted to have you. Now, as we continue our exposition of Matthew, we go to Matthew 26, verses 30 through 46. And as I've asked you to do from time to time, I want you, for your own good, to think the way I think. I don't mean it's any genius, but when you come to the Bible, if you think the way I think about it, you will get so much more out of the text. So Matthew 26, we pick up with verse 30. And I want you, as I read, to ask yourself, what does that have to do with me? And after singing a hymn, Jesus and his now 11 disciples, Judas is already split, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, this is a prophecy, a prediction, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, Here's an Old Testament prophecy from Zechariah. I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. I do not mean in any way to say that that doesn't have any meaning in its own standing. It certainly does. But why is that there? Why was that there for them? Why is that there for us? And after I have been raised, I will go before you into Galilee. What Monday morning significance does any of that have? And Peter answered and said to him, he was a little bit indignant, Lord, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. What's that? What's Monday morning significance for Jim Andrews and you? Jesus said to him, Peter, I'm paraphrasing slightly. Truly I say to you that this very night, before a cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. That'll happen this very evening. Well, that has plenty of meaning in its own right, but what Monday morning significance does that have for you and me? Peter said to him, he was really a little indignant. Now, look, Lord, even if I must die with you, D-I-E, I will not deny you. It wasn't only Peter. Peter was just the leader. And all the rest of the disciples said, yeah, Lord, that goes for us too. What's that have to do with Monday morning? Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. Means the oil press. Some of us here have been there and seen it. And he said to his disciples, hey guys, would you all sit right here while I go over there and pray? And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee out of the 11. And he began to be grieved and distressed. They were just a little closer, so they were witnesses of what Jesus was praying. And Jesus said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. This is about to kill me. Remain here and keep watch with me. Keep watch with me. What's this have to do with anything? And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible. Well, he knew, didn't he? Let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and he found them asleep. What did he say? Watch with me. What did he find? He found these guys zoned. I mean, they were tired. They were full of grief. It'll make you tired. And he said to Peter, so, you guys said you would die with me? You fellas couldn't keep watch with me for 1 hour. That's not 60 minutes necessarily. Well, they didn't have an answer, of course. Keep watching and praying. I know what he meant there. What Monday morning significance does that have with your pastor and you? That, you may not enter into temptation. Fellas, the spirit is willing, but the flesh, it's weak. He went away again a second time and he prayed, saying, Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, let it be done. Thy will be done. And he came back and found them again sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. It's hard to keep awake under the circumstances. So he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to his disciples and he said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand. I hear him coming. I hear him. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise. Let us be going, for the one who betrays me is at hand. Well, the Passover feast was very ceremonial. We looked at that last week. It was rite, R-I-T-E, rite, Rich, and it always ended with Psalms, usually the first verses of Psalm 115 and Psalm 118. Leaving the upper room in the city, Jesus and the 11 would now kind of wind their way out of the city, which sat up on a hill, and go down into a valley called the Kidron Valley on the east side of the city. And down to the bottom of the Kidron Valley and just up a bit was a garden known as the Garden of Gethsemane, the oil press. A lot of olive trees there. I have a picture of those. You perhaps have seen them in some of your Bibles. Have pictures of the olive trees. They can grow 900 to 1,000 years. A long time. And these look very knobby and gnarled. Well, anyway, it was a good place to get away. A kind of secret place to pray. And that's what Jesus really wanted to do. He wanted to pray. But right in the midst of it, as they were going down, suddenly the Lord stops. I mean, I guess he stopped. Doesn't say so. But there was kind of a stop in the action. All right, everybody, listen up. I want to tell you men something. Before this night is over, you're all going to bug out on me. Every last one of you. Who, me? Peter says, not me, Lord. You really are underestimating me and my loyalty. I would never do that. Jesus said, yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. In fact, you'll do it three times in close succession before this night is done. I will die for you. And the rest of the guys said, yes, us too. So why did Jesus bother to stop right there in his tracks? I'm guessing people listen better when you stop. Well, there are at least three reasons. As with all prophecy, Jesus wanted them to know that he knew everything about them and the future. Those of us who saturate our minds with the scriptures, we do what Jesus was trying to do with them. And I want to, Monday morning significance, I want to emphasize this. We fortify our faith when we see how God in the past, going from Genesis all the way, God in the past has performed faithfully his word in the form of unfulfilled prophecy. You've got people today, this is off script, it's a shame, but they are kind of discouraging people. They don't want to read the Old Testament, they just want to get a New Testament and the Psalms and that sort of thing. And they don't, and pots and pans division and all that. That is not only a heresy, that's a huge mistake. The Old Testament is full of prophecy, and it greatly strengthens me, and it should strengthen you to go back. And as you get into the Old Testament and read all of this stuff and the prophecies of God and see how time and time and time again they were fulfilled, then I'm reminded that the prophecies that today are yet unfulfilled will be fulfilled just like that. And Jesus wanted his disciples to get it. When I say the word, you can take it to the bank. And I'm telling you, this is going to happen. So in retrospect, after his resurrection, they got it. Secondly, he wanted to strengthen their love for him. How's that? Well, as I say, they were going to split. They were going to the height of disloyalty that very night. That very night. Peter would deny him outright, but the other guys, in fear, all let out when they saw all these armed people getting Jesus. They didn't do it immediately. We'll get to that. Jesus knew everything that was going to happen. He knew what they were going to do. And yet he continued. He continued to what? To volunteer to do what he came into the world to do, to die for their sins. He was that faithful to them, and he'll be that faithful to you. We mess up a lot. You know it, and I know it. I know myself, and you know you. But his love is steadfast. Steadfast. And he kept the course to suffer and die for them. Well, let's move on. He predicted in verse 32 his resurrection. He said, after I have been raised, right now, their minds were in a fog. And they just couldn't process all this. They had been told again and again. But they had such different expectations. He was the Messiah. The Messiah. Is he really going to be killed? It's going to blow their minds. So they just couldn't get it all in their heads. But Jesus knows that after 3 days, he's going to be resurrected. Everything's going to change, including their minds. And he will be raised. And then it'll all start coming together for them. Well, I want you to notice something. There have always been those throughout the history of the church. There are today. Nothing has ever changed. It's just different forms. But there are people who say, well, his resurrection, it was kind of a spiritual ghost-like thing. It's no physical resurrection. Yes, it was. Jesus said, I'm going to go before you. Still couldn't quite get it. I'm going to meet you in Galilee. They weren't going to meet up with a ghost. They were going to meet up with a physically resurrected Jesus. That is our hope. My hope and yours is that one day, I don't know when that one day is. Nobody can predict it, and Jesus told us that. But when that one day comes, whether you and I are in the grave or whether we're still here, our bodies will be transformed. They will be new physical bodies. Not the body. Aren't you thankful for that? I do not want this body following me into eternity. Lord, remake it. And that's what he's going to do. Well, now, in verse 33, we see that Peter was so shocked that Jesus would entertain such a low opinion of his loyalty. But I want you to notice something. Boy, this speaks to me. I hope it speaks to you. Sometimes we talk a big game. Sometimes we talk as disciples of Christ bigger than we are. There's nothing evil about that. We're just broken people. We're weak people. We are born again. We are new people. But we've still got the flesh. And sometimes we really overestimate ourselves. And so when it comes to persecution, pain, and suffering, when we're on this side of it, we just say, well, if that were me, I would blah, 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 blah. You know, the truth is, we don't know what we would do. When I'm looking death right in the eye, everybody tells me you've got 6 weeks or 6 months to live, or I hope you don't live at all. I don't know how I'm going to react to that. If somebody puts me up against a wall and says, deny Christ, we're going to shoot you. Or we're going to take you apart, limb by limb, and that sort of thing. I do not want to get up and say, oh, Lord, I want to tell you, I'll die for you. I'll be persecuted. I'll lose my last drop. That's what I ought to do. That's what you ought to do. But I do not fully appreciate the weakness that resides in the breast of this pastor and this disciple, nor do you. Now, this is going to really relate to something coming up. Peter was a man, but he overestimated his qualities. So, to move along a little bit, Jesus gets past that, and he moves on. He doesn't argue with Peter in the least. All the disciples said the same thing. Now Jesus comes to the spot, and man, it's all over him, like white on rice. I mean, all over Jesus. Now get this in mind so we can fully appreciate it. Well, I don't know whether we can fully or not, but here's the deal. This is the mystery of the person of Christ. He is God in the flesh. He came into the world. It's called the incarnation. That's Christmas. He came into the world in human form. He was human. He was human. He was human. He was like you and me. Pinch, it hurts. Stub your toe, ouch. Get hungry. Yes. Man, I'm so hungry. I am so tired. I could die. I am so sad. I am so broken. This is killing me. In the mystery of his being, he was also, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he had in his humanity full deity. But in the mystery of it all, before Jesus came into this world, can I use the word resigned? He resigned a certain amount of knowledge. There's a word, Greek word, kenosis. It means emptying. To a certain degree, he emptied himself. This is very important. So that when he entered this world to be your sin bearer and my sin bearer, he wouldn't come into the world anesthetized with deity. So that when he went to the cross and he laid out his hands and they started driving those big ugly spikes through it. Listen, it hurt him just like it hurt you and me. He didn't have some kind of deity factor all of when they took the crown of thorns. And I've seen those thorns. They were like that. Smashed it down on his head. It was anesthetized. All that stuff, when they just flagellated him and ripped the skin off of him down to the bone. Yeah, it hurt him physically, just like it hurt you. It wasn't, he accepted all that because he was going to be the sin bearer and he was going to bear the price of your sins and my sins. And he did. So he resigned a certain amount of knowledge so that he could enter into it like we did. The only thing he was missing was a sin nature. Well, he's heavy under it for you and for me. And he wants to pray. Jesus, the man, Jesus in his humanity, our Father, oh my God, this is awful. This is awful. This is terror. This is absolute terror. I need to pray. I need to pray to face this hour. Wow. You'd let your mind go back and get on his horizon and start thinking about that. Then he told his disciples before he went off to pray privately. He did it three times. Perseverance in prayer. And he told his disciples, you guys watch and pray. Oh, that has so much to do with you and I. Who knows what we'll face tomorrow? I don't know what you may be facing today. But I do know what Jesus said to them is very, very relevant and significant to you and me. Because watch and pray is exactly what many of us need. And Jesus said, watch and pray with me. Watch and pray. Well, it was a deeply emotional time. His reaction to all forms of pain and suffering and rejection, except for the carnal ones, sinful ones, whereas ours would have been. It must have been a nightmare. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Guys, remain here. Keep watch with me. Keep watch for what? For what? And pray. What's the deal? What's that mean for me tomorrow morning? Well, shortly he knew there was going to be a cohort. We think a not only Jewish temple police, but a Roman cohort, some collaboration between he and Pilate. Pilate didn't know what was going down. But anyway, here came a mob with swords and with clubs and with lanterns, like they were coming after a wild animal. And Jesus was praying, my Father, if it is possible. See, he didn't know it wasn't possible in his humanity. Whew. Oh, God. If it is possible for me to do the work I came for, if there's some end run around this, if there's some escape hatch, Father, provide it. Yeah. Yeah. I'd have been praying for that. But then he adds, oh, folks, don't forget this. This is so much a part of leading the Christian life. This is so much a part of discipleship. He said it three times in a little different way. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Have it your way. That's all that matters. I've been thinking about that all week. And you know, we pray for this and we pray for that. I know I do, like you do. And Lord, I want to pray that Aunt Molly will live. Lord, I want to pray that you'll keep my job. Lord, I want to pray that I'll get past this health crisis. I want to pray that that little child of mine is going to be fine. All those are understandable. They're very understandable. But how often are they accompanied by, not my will, but yours? You see, everything we pray for, while we are well-meaning, very well-meaning, and there's nothing wrong with them, but I've done just like you, pray this, pray that, pray something else. But sometimes we're not into that, not my will, but yours. And I don't know how many times I've said to myself, even in the middle of the night last night, Lord, you're the God of life. You're the God of death. You're the sovereign God. You say we live, we live. You say we die, we die. Really, at the end of the day, this pastor, I don't matter. Nothing about us is the heart of things. What matters is that God be glorified in everything. And that's got to be the heart and center of our prayer life. You be glorified. Whatever we do, in life or in death, in riches or in poverty, in health or in sickness, in the appearance of failure, in the trappings of success. Lord, all that really matters here, your ways are so mysterious. All that really matters here is the outcome, that you are glorified in your Son. That's when we're beginning to get it, and we get to the heart of everything. Oh, yes. Absolutely. It wasn't possible. Not and accomplish his redemptive work, because he had to die as our substitute. I'm the one that should die. But he came to be an atoning sacrifice for you and me. And there was only one way. Either I die, or the Son of God dies. And he is the Son of God, which makes his sacrifice infinitely valuable. And he was innocent of all sin. He had to be guiltless. Only the Son of God could do this. So it was necessary. We've got to pray that way. But what's this business? Watch and pray. Jesus said, that's what I want you to do. Well, let's talk about that. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Jesus explained, men, he was gentle. Why do I tell you to watch and pray? Be vigilant and pray. Or be vigilant in prayer. He wanted to get across to them that they were godly men. They were weak like we were and are and will be tomorrow. They were still in the flesh, and you and I wrestle. The redeemed spirit is there. I will die with you. I want to serve you. I want to honor you. And I do. And you do. I want to do it. But there's one problem, and it's a big one. I'm still in this mortal flesh, and it still has its sinful tendencies. And so God says, go this way. Spirit of God pulls me this way. My human spirit is there, ready for action, like Peter, like the rest of it. But then when it comes, we fail. We've got this flesh. So what does that mean? Watch and pray. Oh boy, there's a lesson there. You and I, when we get in these crises that we will get in following Christ, we need to pray that our spirit will be strengthened, so when the time comes to choose to do the right thing rather than the wrong thing, we're prepared. Do you notice what happened to Jesus? In his humanity, he prayed. He prayed until he had sweat like drops of blood, and maybe even drops of blood. There's that argument. Such a thing has been known. Intense prayer that just kind of broke things. He prayed fervently. And he prayed three times. And then when the hour came, as we will see, not this morning, what did Jesus do? Jesus, the man. He rose up, and we won't see it in this text or next week, but it's there in the parallel accounts. He was up. He had done his praying, watching and praying. And then when that weak, cowardly mob came, when they came, Jesus stood up. The Son of God, the Son of Man stood up. And he said, whom do you seek? And there was something about the power of that voice that blew him back. and they fell before finally they recovered himself. He was fearless. He was fearless going through it all. Fearless. Didn't matter whether he stood before the Sanhedrin, stood before Pilate. Man, don't you answer me? Don't you know I have the power to put you to death? Do what you will. Are you a king? You said it. They beat him within an inch of his life. Well, getting ahead of myself. But he had watched and he had prayed and he was strengthened by the Spirit of God. Well, it reminds me, as I think about the Monday morning significance of these things. You know, lots of times, Pastor Jim, you've gone out in a good spirit, but weak in the flesh. And like the disciples, well, they didn't stand up. They ran away. Because what did Jesus tell them to do? Watch and pray. And they failed to do that. So, it reminds me that we ourselves sometimes are deficient just like they were in that situation. So let me bring it down a little more narrowly. He told these guys, get up, shake it off. Your missed opportunity to watch and praise wasted. I told you to do it. You didn't. What you needed to be prepared for is now all over you like white on rice. So arise. Get up. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. And after that rude shock, you can bet the disciples never again forgot those words, watch and pray. Well, you're still probably saying, rightly, watch and pray for what? Well, as you go forth tomorrow morning, as you go forth today, it is one of the seven. Watch and pray for God's wisdom. Watch and pray for the Spirit's courage. Watch and pray that you may be faithful in any up ahead crisis that you don't see coming. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. I don't know what's coming this afternoon. Life can just spin on its head just like that. I need to be a prayerful man. You need to be a prayerful woman. And watch and pray the things I don't see coming, but watch, be vigilant for whatever may be coming down the pike. Watch and pray for God's wisdom, courage, and faithfulness. In crises and testings up ahead that we may foresee, some of you are probably sitting out there just looking up ahead. You may have been doing it for a while. You're worried about this, anxious about that, stuff that you may see coming down the pike. There may be stuff going on in your body and you're wondering, don't even want to go see a doctor. But you wonder, is this that? Watch and pray so that when it comes, you may respond with wisdom and courage and faithfulness in the midst of it all. I was talking to a lady, she's here this morning, this week. And she was having a problem. It wasn't a biggie, but none of you would want it. But she said, and I thought, oh, that's the right spirit. She said, Pastor Jim, and these are my words, not hers, but the same idea. Look. In the scope of human problems, this is not the big one. But she says it is a big nuisance. Yeah, we have a lot of those. When we look around and we see the suffering going on in the world, the pain. Sue didn't see her mother and sister getting murdered. Who would have expected that out of the blue? They weren't members of organized crime. They weren't drug dealers. They weren't this. They weren't that. Somebody walks in the door, bang, bang. Watch and pray for those things you don't see coming, that you may be strong and faithful and wise. Pray for those things that you see might be coming. And watch and pray for God's wisdom, courage, and good sense and faithfulness. Yeah, this is a biggie today. We're living in the most degrading social, moral, and political situation we've ever seen in our time. And you just wonder, oh, what next? Well, many of us are people who are passionate and a people of deep convictions. We're Christian people. We want to, like these disciples, we want to stand up for Christ. We want to stand up for God. We want to be loyal to the faith. We do not want to be amoral and foolish and lawless and reckless and godless. So we want to stand up, but sometimes we get the wrong ideas about where those things may take us. And because we don't watch and pray, sometimes we go out and we get involved in things that are not the right way to go. We approach things. We're rebellious. They're not going to do that to me. I am a Christian. No way. I know what you're doing. I know what you people are doing. You're not doing it to me. Got to be careful so that we may be wise and faithful and have good sense. The flesh can run ahead of the spirit. Heat, my heat, can get in the way of light. And we do it all wrong, though well-meaning. Well, I don't know about you, but I see a full Monday morning in all of that. Very sobering and very enlightening. It's all historical and it's so full of meaning in itself, but it all ramifies to my Monday morning and your Monday morning if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not a believer, we welcome you here. We're glad you're here. But I want to say to you that life is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about serving the living God. If you don't know Him and you don't serve Him, you don't have a life. Well, I'm living. No, you're like a snake with its head cut off. You're wiggling. You're not living. You don't have life until you have Christ. And you don't have Christ until you say to the living God, I surrender to your Son. I confess my sins that I am lost and I need a Savior. And I embrace Him at the foot of the cross and accept His atoning blood as a covering for my sin. That you need to do. You can't just let that happen by some kind of osmosis. You have to make a decision. We urge you to do it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the instruction we find in the Gospel of Matthew, in the narratives about the Lord Jesus, how much they speak to us. And our Father, we pray that we'll take the wisdom and we'll live by it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.